La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got light blue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
No, you're an angel witch. We've done it. Wait, do we have audio?
Yes.
We were so dangerous. I felt like we were dangerously close to having a really seamless beginning to the show.
A little too close.
Until I guess I just have to believe. Believe in the technology. Hello and welcome to the Dave Hill Good Time Hour with me, Dave Hill, from before. Hello. How are you? I'm incredible. Thanks to you so much for I'm really struggling with basic words tonight. How are you doing, boy criminal Chris Gersbeck?
I'm fantastic. Doing great. Really good. Statement.
How are you doing, New Jersey Chicken Rancher? Dez?
I don't even have a name anymore. I'm just the adjective.
I paused. I think something's... I just got really distracted by messing with my headphones, which seem weirdly...
I do like the idea of not calling Dez, like anything.
Just,
like
just calling him. Just call him New Jersey Chicken Rancher. I'm not opposed to it.
We can see if it sticks.
Guy it's in the attic with American flag in his wall.
I kind of like it. Not to you know what happened? This is really Chris, resist the urge to masturbate when I explain what just happened. Somehow the balance in my computer audio was switched, and it was a little bit coming out of the left speaker.
Oh, that's happened to me before. I wonder what.
And I targeted the problem and I fixed it. Now it's balanced, but that's why I struggled to say Des's name, and. And struggled with a lot of things, arguably, throughout much of my life. Anyway, we have an incredible program in store for tonight. We have an amazing guest, my dear friend, Kathy Valentine, who has a pretty new book out. And when I say pretty, I mean fairly. It's come out within the past year. All I Ever Wanted. It's her autobiography, memoir. It's amazing. She is, of course, a member of the Go-Go's, and she has her own band, the Blue Bonnets, and she's amazing and a delight. And she's agreed to appear on this program. So apparently she has bad judgment as well. So there we go.
Nothing else to do on Monday night.
Nothing else to do. I'm counting on any combination of those things. Yeah, her book, and then it comes out in paperback. This summer, there's a documentary on the Go-Go's that came out recently, and they were recently nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So then you add her appearance on this show. That's four major things.
They're having a year.
All in 1 year. Can you turn the background jams down a tiny bit?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a request. We got to do Crime Blotter. We got to do Crime Blotter at some point soon. Maybe not tonight, not with our big time guests, but I was watching Chinatown earlier today and the music.
Oh.
comes on in the beginning, and I immediately needed to know what was going on in Northeastern Ohio.
It must have been just a Pavlovian reaction.
It really was.
No, you know why we haven't done the crime blotter in some time is because they put it, my source for all the Northeastern Ohio crimes has been put behind a paywall.
Dread the paywall.
They put it behind somehow.
Have you tried the probably like trick?
What is that?
If you use Chrome, if you go into incognito mode, sometimes you can access, like, that's how I look up articles on Vulture all the time, because I'm not going to pay to access Vulture.
You have to pay to read Vulture?
After that's five articles, yeah.
That shows you how much I read Vulture.
So you go incognito and then you get like another five because they recognize it as a different browser?
Oh,
yeah.
No, I don't know. I should try it.
Life hack, as they call
it. Yeah, it's a life hack. Isn't a life hack really just, isn't that what we used to call just a helpful tip?
Ingenuity.
It's just a suggestion, helpful suggestion, but they call everything's, I don't know. This past week, not to brag, how many Finnish movies do you think I have watched in the last week? Which is to say movies made in Finland.
Oh.
Well, actually, I'm busting myself on a technicality. Well, one of them is a Finnish movie made in France, and they speak French the whole time.
That's okay.
But the cast is all Finnish.
You had 2.5 last week, right? I think.
I'm up to 7.
Wow.
I've seen 7.5 because I can never watch movies all at once because I'm 78 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But, I am arguably the foremost authority on Finnish cinema on this show right now.
That's for sure, yeah.
Checks out.
Maybe in North America, though I bet someone's got me...
There's some grad student, some Finnish cinema grad student.
Who knows?
Where he's got your beat.
I love it. I think Finland might be the country for me based on the movies that I've been watching.
Is it something about the overall vibe or the people specifically a certain kind of way?
This is what I love. I've never been to Finland, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in many countries, but I've not been to Finland. And I want to go. But what I love about every movie I've watched is very low key and no one talks very loud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the world that I would rather live. Like, and then I've been watching American movies interspersed because, you know, in the Oscar run up, sure. I've been watching a lot of the movies. Also because of the pandemic, because I'm not doing anything. I've watched a lot of
Nomadland yet?
I watched Nomadland. I was just talking about Nomadland.
I keep hearing things about it.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Nomadland, I really enjoyed. The thing about it is I was talking with my friend Jody about it yesterday, and they have like actual nomads in the movie playing versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell who they are because they just talk like normal people. And one might argue that that's what actors should do. And when they're in, you know, playing normal people in movies, that's how they should act. But in America, no one does that because all American actors have to be like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So I found it really enjoyable that everyone was just talking like normal.
I like movies like that. I don't like when they'll have. Well, I haven't seen Nomadland yet, but I assume it's jarring when there is a real actor in a scene with them, right?
It fits with the whole vibe of the movie. So it's not like it's a high action paced movie and then all these normal speaking people pop up. It's, you know, it's a quiet, a meditative movie. Actually, Kim knows my wife knows the woman who wrote the book. So, she was out there living with these people for, you know, months and months and months at a time. So, yeah, we saw it a while ago. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I really like that. I watched The Sound of Metal.
That was good.
Which I enjoyed, but was not very metal, I have to say. The title was misleading. They roped me in by making me think it was a movie that had a lot to do with heavy metal, but it wasn't. I saw Promising Young Woman. Whoa, what's that?
Justice League? Did you watch the 4-hour Justice League cut?
No. What is that? It's like a superhero movie?
Yeah.
The odds of me seeing that are, I would say there's much greater odds of me watching every Finnish movie ever made. And then moving on to Icelandic movies.
Justice League is probably still longer.
Yeah, it's long. It's like 4 hours long.
I'd be completely lost. There's probably all sorts of characters coming in and out.
I grew up with those characters, and I've seen all the movies, and I still had no idea what was going on.
So. I enjoyed it more than the other recent superhero movies that I've been seeing.
Yeah,
I'll give it that.
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
It was a fun one.
And I could not have been more confused. Every 2 seconds, there's some other guy walking in and being like, no, I'm the guy. And then you're like, well, who the fuck are you? I thought I was paying attention to this guy. And then some other guy shows up and he's like, no, I'm the bad guy. I'm the one you want to watch out for. I just busted myself retroactively. We shouldn't use profanity. Because this show is now being broadcast in Manchester, England, on the terrestrial radio.
No kidding.
So as a result, we can probably still use profanity. In fact, we could probably start using the C word.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that kind of...
But I cannot caution against that anymore.
Context matters.
I'm saying don't do it, is my point.
Okay. Do I take a couple calls?
Yeah, don't. Oh, we have calls. We also have the super chat is rocking. I mean, it's not being used by anybody, but it is available to use if anyone wants. I'm going to pay better attention. The super chat is your way of making your comment jump out, and then we read it on the show. But the bigger thing is you support the show. In the process, and for example, make it so I can get a new microphone, or we keep doing the show. Just as one more example, so please make use of the super chat. Let's take some calls. I have a feeling I know who the first call will be.
Usually is.
The number is 201-584-7071. So if you ever wanted to call in and make use of an annoying delay, you've just hit a street called Easy. Because we can do it.
I think the delay's gotten a little bit... I think it was better last week than it was.
You say the delay is better, do you mean that it's solved or that it's...
Pronounced
solved. Even more. Okay. That was Who's on the line? We have a call?
Call, are you there?
This is Elvira Canaveral from Minneapolis, Canadian.
Hello. South. How's it going?
How are you fine folks holding up? It's we're surviving well here. I want to say I've been really enjoying some Painted Doll music this week.
Oh, thank you.
I've been also, it was just a nice little charm. And then because it was right next to it in suggestions, I listened to the band Painted Shield, which is a local Mason Jennings and Steve guitarist from Pearl Jam. And I have to say the two made a great pairing.
Mason, what are the chances? I've not heard of that. Who's Mason Jennings?
Mason Jennings. He's known here in Minneapolis. He moved here like 20 years ago. I know him through his local stuff. Plus, he's worked with some really good friends, and I've worked a couple shows with them. Genuinely good guy.
I had an album of his a while ago.
I was introduced to him in 2001 when I was touring with the Guthrie, and it was the opening lyric from a song, and then I was a fan, and that lyric was, "This is a bullet from a gun called What the Fuck?" And I was like,
"Get rid of this call. What did I just say? Hang up on this call. Rock. This is what I literally Rock. just.
I could ban him if he does that next time.
I just covered this.
Man.
I literally just covered this. No profanity.
Boom.
Is there another call on the line?
There is.
I...
Let's see. Call
Elvira,
there?
I just said no profanity.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, is it me? What? Is it me now?
It's you.
Yay.
Who's calling? No profanity.
I swear to God, I won't cuss.
Who's calling?
Valerie.
Oh, Valerie, where are you calling from?
It's me from Maryland, and I used to curse really bad, but I've really toned it down.
Well, you just saw how I flew off the handle when Elvira used profanity. Literally, about 15 seconds after I said, new rule, no profanity.
And he went out of his way.
Well, I've kind of tried to correct my ways on that because, you know, I remember how you dislike it so much.
Oh, I mean, you saw everyone heard how upset I got.
Oh, I know. I remember. But you did curse a lot in the last show.
We were talking about heavy metal.
Oh, that was a different time. We were just kids then. We weren't the number one show in Manchester, England then, like we are now.
Oh, yeah, you were in church.
Yeah, now we're the foremost radio program in Manchester, England, and I can't allow profanity.
I know. I'm so excited.
It's huge. This is a breakthrough for us.
To be here. That's why I'm calling. The Go-Go's is coming on, and I'm going to call back when she's there, too, because I'm so much a fangirl for her.
Oh, she's amazing. You've got to call
like
back.
40 years in the making for me to call in and speak to her.
Oh, this is excellent, then. You're in for a treat.
Oh, man.
What else is going on in Maryland? What's going on with you?
Well, let's see. I've got a 16-year-old that kind of laid it down on me yesterday that she wants to smoke weed.
Listen, I'm not going to jump to conclusions, but I don't think she's asking. I think she's telling.
No. Trust me. We have like a really close bond, and she wants me to like get the medicinal marijuana card because she wants to get the good stuff. So,
well, that's reasonable.
And I'm like, cool. Okay. So, I'm going to go get the card, and I appreciate that she's honest with me about it. So I'm like, okay, cool. Because I'm we have a really like good relationship. So I'm thinking, is 16 too young for her to just start smoking?
It might be. Some people can.
I don't know. You think? I mean, she takes prescription medication for anxiety. So what's worse? The medicine she's taking or just having like an edible, you know?
Is it legal in Maryland?
It's about to be, pretty much. I mean, you can get a card because in California, I mean, I had a card. And in Maryland, in any minute here, it's going to be legal.
Oh, I think just let it ride. How old is she? 16?
16, yeah.
Oh, forget it. You can't stop her. You can't stop her.
I'm thinking.
She's
really in a crazy phase right now. She's in the Juggalo phase, like ICP Army.
I mean, that's your bigger issue is the ICP. No, I take it back. I'm actually.
I don't know why she's in that.
I'm very pro insane clown posse.
What did I do wrong for her to be into ICP?
No. I used to talk smack about ICP, Insane Cloud Posse, which is to say. But I like the cut of their jib. I think they seem like good guys, and they're on the right side of history.
Mm-hmm. That's what it comes
and,
down to.
So good for them. I don't have to listen to music, but I support them. Very quickly.
At least it's not fish.
Excellent. That would be, yeah, that's, you know, then that's double whammy.
Then you're pulling the emergency brake on this toot sweet.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think you just got to get out of the way. She's
a really bad mom by saying, you know, let's go get you some edibles. And okay, here you go, 16-year-old. You know?
I mean, it sounds like she's going to do it anyway. So you might as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of like what I'm trying to make sure I'm, you know, being the proper.
Who else are you?
Mom, say, do it.
Who else are you asking for advice besides it? Who else are you asking for advice on this besides an internet show?
Not really my husband, because he's a master sergeant in the Army. So I don't know if he would be the, you know, really.
Does he wear? Oh, wow.
See, then I say
master sergeant.
Yeah, I take back my hesitation.
He's totally straight edge, hardcore straight edge, like minor threat straight edge.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no drugs, no drink.
So. Wild,
too serious.
This has got the. If this has the. This has the makings of a sitcom. I'm really excited to see how this shakes out.
I know. So, like, I've always been like I never even heard of straight edge until I met my husband. So this is pretty interesting, like, dynamic here in our family.
This is excellent. Well, I really like your daughter. She sounds like a good kid. And yep. I think she's going to be okay. I'm not worried about her. So there.
Yep. She'll be all right.
Yeah, she's going to be fine.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks for calling. Call back. Call back in a little bit.
Oh, I will. Thanks.
We have some scorching hot super chats to read. Jilly Fitz writes, please join me in wishing Amy Dahl a happy birthday in advance.
Amy,
happy birthday. True. Happy birthday, Amy. I believe her birthday is in 2 or 3 days. I do know exactly when it is, but I'm being coy and acting like I don't know exactly when it is. So everyone, happy birthday to Amy Dahl. Her birthday will have... Oh, wait, no. Might be now I don't really have to double check this. Anyway, it's very soon. It's this week. Happy birthday, Amy Dahl. And Elvira Canaveral says, citing a song lyric is not censored on UK radio.
Now he's a parliamentarian authority.
I don't believe him. I think he's making that up.
It could be true, but the rule, as stated by me, Dave, before, is I just said no swearing on this show anymore.
What about euphemisms? Can we say pink sock still?
Sure, I think that's fine. I think you could say dingus, pink sock.
Taint, obviously.
Taint, not a problem.
I'm going to go grab our guest.
Is she there already?
I got to go grab her, yeah.
You got to go to the bathroom?
No, I got to go. You know, she's downstairs waiting. I got to go let her in.
Oh, grab her, guests. And okay, great. We'll try to hold. We didn't get to. Chris wanted. We'll have to ask Chris about. Maybe we'll ask Chris about this when Kathy's on.
Mm-hmm.
Chris had some issues. I would argue marital issues. In that his wife was getting Smith's lyrics wrong. And it was, I'll let him explain it.
I didn't even know what the lyric was in the first place. I'm not a Smiths guy, though, so that's...
You're a Black Crowes guy.
It's a blind spot for me, admittedly. No question.
It's all right. I mean, Morrissey is kind of a... Really,
Acquired taste?
No, I mean, he's just kind of a jackass now, so... You know...
That's, you know...
It's probably too late to get into them anyway.
Yeah.
Because he's such a knob. Chris Robinson, did you just call Chris Robinson a jackass?
He's kind of put himself in that category for sure.
Well, Morrissey's like a right-wing...
Right, Chris is an affable fella, good to hang out with and stuff, but...
You met Chris Robinson?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Didn't you?
I have, not with you, but yeah.
Wait, you weren't there when he was on the WFMU show?
That was right before I started with you.
Oh, yeah. He was a delight.
Oh, I would say. Absolutely. You know, I guess
Chris Robinson was a delight. I found him to be now. And I was still able to read Steve Gorman, the drummer, former drummer for Black Crowes, book. And I said, hey, I'm Switzerland in all this. Sure. Obviously, I'm closer with Chris Robinson because I've been.
You got so much time in with him.
Taking sides. And my friend Tim is now the bass player for Black Crowes.
That's right.
So, no, I can't think of anyone who is more entrenched in the Black Crowes business than I am at this point. In terms of people on this Zoom call.
Right. Might very well be. I don't know anybody in the band. So.
But where did you meet Chris Robinson?
Outside a couple shows. They did a signing at Tower Records just here and there. You go to enough shows, stalk around enough bands, you know. They started doing the charge and meet and greet thing, though, a little bit ago.
The VIP meet and greet?
Yeah. You know, more power to them. They found
Mark my words. As a performer, I will never charge anyone to meet me. That is largely because the demand isn't there. Let's be honest. The reason is because...
Can't put a number on...
There is no demand.
Nothing.
There's Bill Dolan says that you met Ace Frehley with him
because of Bill. Yeah, Bill came through big.
So
time
there.
Yeah,
I read that out loud, even though he did not use the super chat.
No, but
would love some more super chat.
It's topical.
Yeah, some super chatting.
Yeah,
just super chatting like the wind. I love Super Chat because it kind of sounds like the first band of four on a hardcore bill in 1986. Super Chat's going to play 20 minutes and then they're driving back to Long Island.
I was talking to my wife just a little while ago and I learned that she saw Rage Against the Machine at the Wetlands in 1993. And that seems like a real intense kind of band to see in such a small spot. Do you have any, you know... Like, you know, as a band is ascending and you see them in a small place and it just kind of blow the roof off of a room.
I've seen a lot of bands that in that way, I think. I saw Smashing Pumpkins play to like 30 people before when their first record. I think it was a free show even.
Mm-hmm.
I saw... Queens of the Stone Age play in a bar. And many more will come to me.
It's hard to many know sometimes. More. You don't always know that this band is going to go on to something at the time. You don't always have that coming.
You never know. We have another super chat from Elvira Canavo who writes, Indian film, colon, Rocky Handsome Finn, colon, Punk Syndrome. I'm gonna dock him points for what I would argue is misuse of colon.
He's trending in the wrong direction tonight.
He's combative.
Yeah, he's like, you know, feeling cornered, I guess.
No, I think, you know, he's probably right about the UK radio thing, because as I've told the story 7 million times. I've done UK radio where they merely ask that I not use the C word too much.
Right.
As if I had any intention of using it. So it is quite possible.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we're the hosts of One Bad Mother, a podcast about parenting. Parenting is hard, and we have no advice, but we do see you doing it. Honk if you like to do it. Didn't we have a bumper sticker a while back that was like, honk if you did it? That's what it was.
I think it was honk if you're doing it.
Why did we not ever make those?
We did make them. I think they're still in the Max Fun store.
Honk, honk, you're doing it.
Thanks, Viz. So are you.
Each week, we'll be here to remind you that you're doing a good job.
You can find us on MaximumFun.org. Honk, honk.
Toot, toot.
Are you ready to binge watch something old?
The Greatest Generation is a podcast about Star Trek by a couple of hosts a little bit embarrassed to even have a Star Trek podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Harrison.
And me, Adam Pranica. We get into the critical, the technical, the science fictional aspects of the show we love, while roasting it and each other at the same time.
We've completed an entire series about Star Trek The Next Generation, and another one about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and we've just begun Star Trek Voyager. So now is a great time to start watching a new Star Trek series with us.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a friend of DeSoto today.
Take one more quick call.
I think we have. Where's Chris?
There he is.
I'm here.
Are we ready?
We're good to go. Yeah.
Wait. I think she's having she can hear okay.
Yeah.
Let's bring on, and we'll take a call while she's on. Let's not make her wait.
Okay.
Let's not make her wait. Damn it.
So you're gonna introduce her.
Oh, yeah. That would be the professional thing.
I told her
to
wait for an introduction, so I don't want
to wait for a slick introduction by me, Dave, from before. Ladies and gentlemen, as mentioned earlier on the program, our guest tonight is a dear friend of mine and one of my favorite human beings, but also one of my favorite musicians. She is the bass player for the Go-Go's. She's the guitar player for the Blue Bonnets. She's an author of this, one of the best books I've read in the last several years. And it is truly one of those books that where you realize you're getting to the end of it, and then you start to get really anxious because you don't want it to end. And I'm not just saying that. It is All I Ever Wanted by our guest tonight, Kathy Valentine. That was a slick intro.
Nailed it.
Where is she? Where did Kathy go? How come I can't hear her?
I think you're looking in the wrong window.
Yeah, I had my mic muted. Sorry. A lot of moving parts here.
There you are. Thank you. Thanks for coming on our slick program.
Yeah, you know, you're very I wasn't even sure this was going on. What do you still have your radio show, or did this take the place of the radio?
This took the place of the, well, it's a complicated history. I stopped doing the radio show, and then I stopped doing the radio show to finish my last book, and then ended up, we started doing a podcast, and then this show we started during the pandemic because we thought the pandemic will only last 3 or 4 weeks, right?
Right.
So let's do something fun live on the internet for just the next couple of weeks until coronavirus goes away and is just a distant memory. And now here we are a year later, and we've combined the podcast and everything into one high-powered show that is this show.
I don't think there's any going back.
I mean, going back, you don't think the pandemic is going to end?
No. Like, now that you've got it all in one place, like, why shake it up if it's working, you know?
Yeah. It's all in one. I mean, working is the very relative term. I mean, we're number one in our time slot, but, you know, of the time slot of my mind. But thank you. Thank you, Kathy, for coming on the program. It's so great to see you.
It's good to see you, too. Hey, look.
And, you're leader of the Austin chapter of my street gang, the Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit. Thank you for wearing that.
I had the hardest time. I literally switched back and forth between my Dangerous Snake shirt and my Witch Taint shirt. So then I thought if we had a lull on the program, I could change shirts.
You could do an outfit change. Well, I'm really torn because I hate to even think that we could possibly have a lull, but then with the promise of an outfit change, now I'm kind of hoping for a lull.
I know. Well, how will we know it's a lull?
We'll know. I think we'll just feel it. We'll acknowledge it. No, you have to be comfortable with the lull. I'm, you know, that's kind of my brand is the lull.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it. I can sit
I like there. A nice, yeah, comfortable with the silence.
I can sit there and not talk. We could do that. We could just like.
We could just not talk. Not just talk. Let the sound, let the microphones breathe.
There's already you know, some just, super chat questions coming in for Kathy.
Oh, this is Kathy. We have this new feature.
What is it?
It's called Super Chat, where people can pay.
Pay.
You know, in this way, and you know, in the world that we live in, where we must extort people at every opportunity. This show is no different. People can pay to have their comment go rise to the top, like
wow, that's crazy.
Cream. Matt Arnold gets right into, before we can even get into light chit chat, he's going for the jugular and mm-hmm. saying, Kathy, what's your favorite pedal?
Well, I'm
straight
really
to old, gear talk.
Yeah, cool. I'm really old school. All I use is a vintage Tube Screamer, and I have one that's the real deal, like the real old one that I've had
for years
and years. And then I have one that's also the real deal, the old one, but the little square button that you step on fell off. So somebody put it, so it's not original is what I'm saying.
They fixed it up.
Yeah. So that's my backup one. And so, yeah, I would have to say the Tube Screamer, which to me is just like, I call it loud velvet. It's just like loud velvet. It's like the best.
It really is. I have to say like, and I feel really naive having not been a big Tube Screamer person until the last couple of years. And then it is exactly as you say. I play better with those on. All of a sudden, my fingers work better.
Yeah.
You have it right there?
I thought I did, but I don't. And then the only other pedal, I don't know if Matt's question went this far, but I also use that's it.
Oh, nice. A Crybaby Wah pedal. This is you probably don't realize it, but to get into pedal talk this early in the show is really that's the sweet spot. That's that's like leaping to the top of the mountain in terms of topics for this show.
I get it, but it's, you know, I like it because being a woman who is often, you know, like people don't talk to me about that stuff, you know, a lot. So I'm always really, I did a really cool podcast that was just all gear talk and it was with another woman. It was really cool. But that's kind of the extent of it because I that's the only pedals. I don't know how much you were going to get out of pedal talk with me.
Well, I went to a pedal builder with you in Austin, Texas.
Durham.
Durham Pedals, yeah. Which is like a hot boutique pedal company. And that was the first I'd heard of it. And then now since that day we went to his shop, I see it everywhere.
They have really cool names, like his pedals. I love pedal names. We should have a talk. We should have a whole talk about that. Like, do you ever buy a pedal just because of the name?
Oh, totally. I mean, I have. Yeah. They're not within reach, but I have. I'm surrounded by pedals right now. None of them are within reach, but oh, totally.
Do you have like a big pedal board when you play? Like a big? Are you one of those big pedal board people?
I put a big pedal board together at home and I'm like, this is the one, this is going to be really cool. And now I'm going to rock everyone with all my pedals. And then when it's time to leave the house for the show, I'm just like, oh, screw it. And I just grab like two pedals off the board and I go play the show. Yeah. I grab the tuner and like one or two other ones. It's just too hard to dance around when you have all that, when you got to chat and point at people and rip some solos. You can't be stepping on pedals all night.
No. My pedal board, I for years didn't have one, and then I did, because I also have a tuner that I use. And but because I'm a left-handed person, that means I'm also a left-footed person. Even though I play guitar right-handed, I have to walk left-footed. So my pedal board really is stupid. It has just like my tuner and my tube screamer on the right, and then a cable that goes around the mic stand to, so I can wah-wah with my left foot. So it's kind of dumb.
It
originally had more pedals on the right. It had a delay, but I never use it. So now it's kind of silly. So now I do the same thing. I just bring them separately because it's just silly to have a two pedals on a board that with a wire connecting them to the wah-wah on the other side.
Yeah, that now I would probably fall over if I tried to wah with my left foot.
I don't think I could just wah being with honest. My right foot. I think it would just like stay down. It would just be like this horrible tone.
Could be time. Problematic.
I would never be able to get it back up.
This is intense pedal talk. Would you agree, Chris and Des?
The numbers are holding though. This is what they want.
I like it. I like the harder we can go. We have some more super chats. For instance, Matt Arnold says, thank you. That's a true gentleman who will actually pay to just say thank you. We can all learn a lot from Matt Arnold. Elvira.
I kind of want to dig out my pedals now because I do have other ones, but I'm not going to
dig them out. Really? Dig them out.
I think they're close by because this is kind of, I'm in my studio. This is like my big studio.
You have that. All the guitars back there. Elvira Canaveral writes a fun game, pedal name or weed strain. I think that is actually a fun game.
Yeah, he might have had one there.
I think he's hit his groove again. He's back. Elvira's back and better than ever.
He maybe just stopped the free fall is all with that one. We'll see.
He saved himself from himself.
So there's the empty pedal board. The empty pedal board.
We have a couple calls on hold still.
Yeah. Should we take some calls while we
I got one.
There's the tube screamer.
Wait, is it showing up? Yeah.
Nice.
Close up of the tube screamer.
That's a sweet baby. But I have a bunch of other cool ones. I actually looked into this. I was at this garage sale in Studio City ages ago. And this garage sale, there was a box. And the box was just filled with like small stone, phase shifter, and like the mustard. What's the mustard? The distortion one? Yeah, just
the distortion. Like the MXR Distortion Plus?
Yeah. There was just all these old pedals, and they're super cool, but I never use them, you know.
But they're fun. Thing with pedals, I know some people don't understand. You have it, and you pet it like a little bunny rabbit, and then you just put it in a drawer, and you just have it. You may never look at it again, but you have it.
It's a pet-all.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Oh, it was hiding in plain sight the whole time.
I like words.
Petal. It's like a...
It's a petal.
Yeah, it's like what? Like a Cockney pronunciation. Would that be Cockney pronunciation?
No, petal. I don't think so.
Your mom is English.
Yeah, I'm half English. So it's,
this is the segue. I'm king of the segue, as I'm you just happy. Picked up on.
I actually... I downloaded the papers to apply for dual citizenship in 2016. I wonder why. And and I like never did it. Like now the papers, I still have them in like my stack of things to do like 4 years later. But I keep thinking I need to do that. I just think it'd be awesome to, if I could get it, dual citizenship.
You not? Totally could. If I could, I would like to have that just in my bag of tricks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If you ever needed it.
You never know what you're going to need.
But well, you probably told me that your mom is from England before I knew, but it is, you can read all about her in All I Ever Wanted. I really love, I know the book's been out a little while and the paperback comes out in August.
Yeah, so, I'm not supposed to announce it yet, though.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. You know,
I was in my comprehensive research. I was trying to get an exact date.
It's like I didn't know I wasn't supposed to talk about it. But yeah, it is. And yeah, and the book's been out a long time. But because I had the pandemic disadvantage, I think I get a free pass to talk about it for more.
Oh, yeah. No. We want you to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's really just not even been a year yet. I think it came out like this time almost next year, last year. And I'm really proud of it. And thank you for saying such nice things about it, because I'm really proud of it. And I do think it's a good book.
It's a great book. I'm going to read it again. It's awesome on many, many levels.
Do you do audiobooks?
Oh yeah, because yours has a lot of bonus content in the audio.
Mine has a soundtrack. My book has a soundtrack to it. And also you can buy the soundtrack separate, but it also has underscore stuff. Like when I write about starting my first band, I actually found a cassette of my first band rehearsing. And so I put that underneath. And like the right, on the cassette, in the teeniest letters, like I wrote every single thing, like John bass, Kathy guitar, on every song, like I had to, because we would switch around a lot in my first band. But yeah, that's pretty cool. It's got things like that. Or I talk about learning how to go, you know, like Chuck Berry rhythm guitar. And I have that underneath it. So I have underscoring.
Okay. So everyone, get the audio book.
Yeah, I don't listen to audio and the hardcover myself. Yeah, I don't do them, but if you like, if that's your jam, it's a really good one.
Yeah. Oh, I just saw a kitty cat walk by.
Was it orange or gray?
I think it was orange.
Gingerbread.
It won't translate to the podcast version of this show, but well, we've said it's orange, so people are, it's theater of the mind now. It's an orange cat. We know
this. So does the podcast come out at another? This is live, right?
This is live. But the podcast comes out on Friday.
Cool. Then I guess all the visuals of the costume change aren't going to be very good either.
No. As long as we describe it, people will know. You know, like when you say Tube Screamer, original Tube Screamer, then everyone can picture an original tube. Anyone you'd possibly want to know can picture a Tube Screamer.
I think. I mean, it's the best.
But that's one thing the listener or viewer might, because we're talking about guitar. And another thing in this book, you were always a guitar player before you joined the Go-Go's, primarily a guitar player.
Yeah, and still, that's my main instrument. I always maintained that the only band I could play bass in well was the Go-Go's, and it was a perfect fit. And it wasn't actually until the soundtrack, like on my first solo record that I did in 2005, I didn't play bass at all. I got real bass players. But on this soundtrack to my book, I really impressed myself with the bass playing. I was like, damn, this is some good bass playing, because I played everything on it. So now, I don't think I could play in the Chili Peppers or anything, but I think I might be a better bass player than I realized.
I think you're an amazing bass player. And as I've told you, I think on more than one occasion, you wrote my favorite bass line in rock music, the bass line to Head Over Heels.
That's mine, all right.
It's the single greatest. And I remember when that song came out, even though I was only 2 years old. No, I remember when it came out, and my buddy Tim and I were like, that's the greatest bass line of all time.
Wow.
When it breaks down and you're, I think they even cut to you in the video and like there's a jet. I mean, am I remembering this wrong? Isn't that like a jet?
No, that's exactly what happened.
A jet goes by and you're doom, do, 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 do. Da, do, do, boom, ba, da, 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 boom, 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 boom. And then it's the best. See, I even haven't committed.
I don't even know how I got to do a bass solo. I mean, who lets the bass player do a bass solo? Like, I don't even remember whose idea that was. But I'm glad it happened. And then live, sometimes I like get a little funky on it, and it seems like it always annoys the band, so I try to do it straight. But every now and then I'll be do 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 do. I don't know. I'll just kind of get funky.
But you don't slap and pop though. You don't get like super.
I don't know how to slap and pop because my left handed. If I tried to slap with my right hand, it would just be really awkward, I think. Because I don't have a lot of finesse with that hand.
I just wanted to make sure, because if you were doing that, then I would take issue. But as long as, I think a little improvising, people are paying, the live show, they should get a little extra sauce.
That's what I think.
I'm all for it.
If you can do it. But thank you for that. And also, it's not that I didn't mean to sound really self-deprecating. I know I play really good. Like melodically and music, I have a lot of musicality. So it's not like I thought I sucked, but I was more versatile than I realized on this, on when I did my soundtrack. I was a lot more versatile than I realized I was.
Nice. Well, everyone get the audio version then.
It's good.
A sale is a sale too. So it's really I would recommend the hardcover and the audiobook.
Yep.
And then when the paperback comes out, not that we have any idea when that could possibly be.
No.
We could also get that for people with on the go lifestyles.
And also I'm hoping if the paperback comes out that I'll get to resurrect my book tour and maybe go to some cities. And normally you get this window to go do a book tour and go make an appearance, but I'm thinking so many of these bookstores were closed and they might like having someone come in and play some songs. I've told you this before, but you were my huge inspiration in so much of what I accomplished with the book and the idea of able to go. I mean, there was just something that really connected for me when I saw you when we first met and you
2012 it was my first book sense. I came to Austin
that's right, and you did your thing with the book and then you just picked up a guitar and played, and it was just so like, this is cool, because I don't want to really be a solo artist, but if it was adjacent to something else that I do, it just kind of opened up possibilities to me. And that's how things happen sometimes. You just see somebody doing something and you kind of go, oh, what could, I don't know. It really made a big difference in my life. So.
Oh, thanks. Well, you've made a big difference in my life. So goes both ways. And I think also like what I like about going on reading and playing guitar, combining is different things like that. It's also just a good way to just leave the house once and do all sorts of things. And then you go, rather than leaving, reading from your book, going home, coming back out with the guitar another night, you kind of combine a lot of fun into one. It's more fun for me to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think so. And like, that's what I really like. Now you even like are making clothes and stuff. I mean, like, you're really inspiring. I don't know if you realize how inspiring you are to me, because I just like that, like being a little, just doing a lot of things, like, especially now it's like, what else, what else can I do? So I've been I've been really excited to go out with the paperback and go to some, and not just like, I don't just sit there and read. I can't stand being read to, so I don't want to do that. So I generally just tell stories like in real time, like that are in the book. Maybe I'll read like something like really good part or something. But mostly I like to just talk with people and play songs and just kind of shoot the shit.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think you have to do a full-on book tour, and I could be your driver. we'll get like an old Cadillac.
If you're still in Ohio, maybe.
I'll be back in New York. I'm going back to New York in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, cool! I've been in a year.
I keep threatening that, but it's actually happening. I'm actually going to do it.
I'm hoping if the Go-Go's get into the Rock Hall, that I can go to Cleveland before that.
I'm going to come back for that. Don't get me wrong. I'll come back to Ohio.
No, but
for
maybe
that.
I could do something like do a book event, like the week before or something, because there might be like more like it might seem more like exciting because I'm going to be inducted. I don't know. It's just my idea.
Yeah. We have to talk about. Yeah. The Go-Go's were recently nominated, but they told you, or you don't know. It's a secret.
What?
Do you know whether you don't know yet whether or you're
oh,
not?
No,
you don't
we
know.
Don't, we have no idea. I don't think we know until. I don't know how they tell you. I don't know.
They should just tell you. If they don't have you, I'll write a nasty blog post about the Rock Hall. What? Let's. Don't we have some calls on hold still, or do we lose them with my rambling?
No, we got one left.
Let's grab some, and then if people want to call in, do you mind taking some calls, Kathy?
No, not at all.
And the number here is 201-584-7071. If you want to call in and ask Kathy a question, or you can, of course, ask in the chat, though I do recommend using the super chat if you want me to read it, because how else am I possibly going to see it unless you pay $2.23?
Remember when we did our gross stuff clubhouse and nobody was there? And if anyone did come, they would leave like right away.
Well, in our defense, it was just spur of the moment. We didn't do a media blitz in the lead up to it. But yeah, we did. It was fun.
Yeah.
I'm getting into clubhouse because it's kind of like I haven't done it that much. I've really only done it. I did it a couple other times, but I like it that because it's just like a party line or something.
What I don't like is the lack of privacy. Like I see what people are listening, what rooms they're in. Like if you follow somebody or they see what you're doing and what you're up to. And I just think, you know, it's like I'm like, all I do is listen, go into Bitcoin rooms, and it's like, you know, and now people like text me like, oh, are you into Bitcoin? And I'm like, no.
Chris had that happening with Pink Socks. No,
it's true.
I'm just kidding. Pink Sock is a horrible, we won't even get into it, what that is.
Where's the call?
Let's take the call.
That was my fault.
Do we have the call?
You there, caller?
Hey.
Who's calling?
Hey, Dave, it's Bill.
Oh, Bill Dolan from Parts Unknown?
Yes, indeed. So I was just following up, and believe it or not, Des, I was at that Rage Against the Machine show at Wetlands.
Oh, nice.
But my story is I went to a friend's band was one of the warm-up acts. So we went to see them and then left, never even seeing the Rage Against the Machine or knowing anything about them.
Who was that
so,
actually?
What
was the name of the band? Because we were trying to find that out.
It was this friend of mine, Todd Youth. He had a band called, I believe it was like called Shining Time Station or something. But we went to see them, and then we went to like 7B or some bar, and then, you know, months later, we found out that that band we didn't even stay for was massive.
Yeah.
So, not that I overly regret that, but I wanted to ask Kathy and whoever else wants to chime in. Growing up, were there any bands that you like had tickets to see or you were, wanted to see and then you didn't go and then you regret to this day? Like, I have one, like, my brother was like, hey, you want to go see Stevie Ray Vaughan? Mm. And I said, I'll see him next time. And then he died the next week. So,
oh, that's there you go.
You have any of those growing up that you say, oh, I wish I went?
I have Brian Callen.
Cat, what were you going to say, Kathy?
Well, I was just going to rip off that. I got to see Stevie like dozens and dozens of times because I'm.
Oh, yeah, Austin.
Yeah, and he was, I'd see him at the club. Like, I saw him in his band. He had a band called Phoenix. Like, when he was first starting out, I saw him in Paul Ray and the Cobras. I saw him in Triple Threat, Double Trouble. But the same thing happened to me. Like, when he got bigger and was on tour, one of the last tours, I was like, oh, you know, I've seen Stevie a lot. I'll go next time. So I feel your pain for that because there wasn't going to ever be a next time. But yeah, to answer the question, God, no, I can't think of. I don't remember. I don't remember if that's ever happened to me.
Well, Stevie Ray Vaughan, I saw him a bunch of times. The first time I ever got drunk was at a Stevie Ray Vaughan concert on the Soul to Soul tour. I went and I drank like two beers, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh, this is what all the fuss is about."
I was supposed to see Joe Strummer at Roseland in like '98 or '99. And I was in high school at the time. I got in trouble or something, so my mom wouldn't let me go. And then, like, a year later, he died. And I still haven't forgiven her.
You should never forgive her, Chris.
I never will.
Wait, what did you say, Des? Blind Melon?
I had Blind Melon tickets and decided not to go last minute. And then he was dead a month later. So that was that.
No,
I didn't mean to get overly morose here, but
yeah, well, good. Thanks a lot, Bill. Everyone's dying thanks to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Kathy. You're great.
Yeah, sorry I didn't have a good story.
Okay. Is that it from Bill?
That was it. I just cut him off by accident.
Oh, you just cut him off. I thought he had one. I thought he had something else locked and loaded.
Oh. Got another caller, though.
Let's take another. Joe, do you want to take another call, Kathy, or have you had it with these callers?
No, I'm game for anything. Whatever y'all want to do.
Let's see. Caller, you there?
Yes. Hi, Kathy. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Hi. What's your name?
This is like Valerie.
Hi, Valerie.
And yeah,
hey Valerie,
this is like 40 years, like, you know, that I've like actually been able to like fangirl and call. So the Go-Go's played in my hometown of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I wasn't allowed to go and see you guys because I was too young. And yeah, I've always been kind of bummed out about that. So that was actually the concert that I missed out on, was the Go-Go's in Myrtle Beach.
What year was that?
1982.
So that was like a vacation tour? Like, was it a big place or the clubs?
I think it was at the Myrtle Beach. Did you guys play the convention center?
That sounds right. Yeah.
God, well, I don't know. I was like 7, I think. I was born in 74, so it was like 82, I think.
Well,
but yeah, I was really mad that my parents wouldn't let me go because my brother was old enough and he got to go and I wasn't allowed to go.
Your brother went to see the Go-Go's?
Yeah, he got to go and I didn't think it was right that I wasn't allowed to go.
Did he like torture you when he got home? Like tell you what you missed?
Oh yeah, of course. He's a total jerk. I ended up stealing all of his Go-Go albums, and I never told him about it.
Did he bring you like a t-shirt or anything?
Oh, of course not.
Oh man.
And he had all the best like posters on his wall, all the like fuzzy Yes posters and Boston posters and like the strobe lights, and yeah, it was just,
oh man,
unfair.
Well, you're making up for it tonight.
Where do you
all
live?
All these years later.
Do you still live in Myrtle Beach?
No, right now I'm living in Maryland.
Ah.
And he's living in the Philippines.
What's he doing there?
I don't know. I don't talk to him.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
We've never healed.
Things took a turn.
But anyway, yeah, on a lighter note, my daughter actually is a very talented musician, and she plays the bass.
Oh,
and
cool.
I called earlier. Oh, nice. She's 16, and I was just going to like check in and see as far as any recommendations on, you know, as far as, you know, what you think.
About a career as a bass player?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, she's actually just, you know, has like a natural inclination as far as with music. So I don't know if I should like put her in classes or just let her do her, like her own thing.
Well, I mean, I would say number one, it's like, I don't know what it takes now, but it seems like the more you know how to do, the better. Like if she could start learning like some recording stuff and writing songs. And that's what I always tell people. Don't just be a musician, because, you know, who knows if you're going to get a gig, but if you can do lots of stuff, there's just a lot more things. It's just being as versatile. So, but as far as, I mean, I never took classes or anything like that. So I think if she's really into it, she'll figure it out. That's what most of us do. You know, if we're into it and that's what we want to do, we do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of always the thing that's impressed me the most about her. When I took her to like the School of Rock thing when she was about 8 to take some drumming lessons, you know, the guy asked her, you know, what kind of, you know, what song do you want to play to learn some drumming? And she said, anything by the Police, you know, some Stuart Copeland. And wow. I was like, what? Where'd she get that? You know. So she definitely is advanced.
I'll say.
So,
nice.
I'm pretty impressed with this kid.
Cool.
That's great. Yeah, I'm impressed with my daughter. I understand that feeling.
Oh, yeah. No, there's. What was that?
None of it. You know, I have none of the music talent in my family, so I'm glad she did.
Cool. Well, hopefully she'll be rocking all of us in a few short years.
Absolutely. But I'm so glad I got to finally call and talk to you.
Yeah, Valerie, it's really nice to hear from you, and thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Valerie.
For sure. Thank you.
And you can you can find me on social media. I'm always pretty accessible. So
yeah.
There's
Oh yeah.
Except Facebook.
I'll be there. Thanks.
I'll do that.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Valerie.
We have a super chat question here for Kathy.
Super chat. Oh my God. Where is it?
Well, Byron, he asked the question and then paid for the super chat. So his question's right, right above that.
Oh, okay. This is a really interesting question, Kathy. Could you please ask Kathy to discuss her experience with black mold? I heard her mention that quickly in an interview once before, but she wasn't able to expand on it at the time.
Well, I don't know if it was that really bad, the black mold. I don't know what it was, but basically I coughed for like 2 years and I was really scared, but I just wouldn't go to the doctor because I was scared. And sometimes the coughing would go away, so I would forget about it, but then it would come back. So finally, my friends were going, you got to do something. You got to do something. I'll try to wrap this up quick because nobody wants to talk too much about health stuff. But
No, go for it.
I went to the doctor. I got an x-ray, and the x-ray wasn't good. The stuff it says, I don't want to say it because I don't like to give it any power or energy, but it's the sort of stuff that if you look up on the internet, you start freaking out. And luckily my doctor, I like progressive doctors that aren't just totally old school, but it'll be old school if they need to be, if that's the best route. But he said, let's do some blood work. Don't freak out. And he did blood work, and he found 17 antibodies to mold in my blood. Hmm. So he said, you need to check out your environment. So then I checked out the air conditioning system, and I had two. You were at that house, Dave, that two-story house that I lived in before.
Yeah.
But I had one air conditioner upstairs, and it was filled with mold. So I got rid of it. I think I spent like $10,000 in like one day. I mean, I literally, but the problem is it's kind of been an ongoing thing, ongoing recovery, because when your immune system is under attack for years like that, it gets really overreactive and you have to work really hard at building your immune system up. So anyway, I do a lot of stuff to kind of feel better. And I've just noticed I've been, not having any like sugar or grains now for like almost a month, and I haven't had any lung problems. So that tells me like inflammation, and you know, so if you're having mold problems, I hope that you will consider like everything, everything you can do to build yourself up. I don't know what people normally, I know there's some bad stuff out there, really bad things. I didn't expect that question, but
no one ever does.
Yeah, and maybe me talking about it has helped somebody else. So that's a thank you for asking, because you never know. You know, maybe somebody heard that. Maybe somebody's coughing a bunch and is scared like I was.
Someone's going to get to the bottom of a black mold problem.
I hope so.
If we can reach just one black mold person.
Sufferer, yeah. So I don't know what kind of mold it was. I was just like, get this thing out of my house. And, you know, but I still struggle. Like I still,
oh wow.
I'm very, like if I get stressed out, like the second I'm stressed out, my lungs start feeling weird. So I was terrified of COVID, as you can imagine.
Yeah. What have you been, I'm assuming you're just holding it down at home, everybody, most people, going for long drives?
I've been enjoying being at home, getting to spend time with Audrey, because she's a senior in high school, and a normal senior year, she would not have been with me this much. So it's been good for that. And, it's been good for me in a lot of ways, but I did a road trip to LA, and I'm vaccinated now. I'm just waiting for everybody else to do it.
Oh, nice. I have one. I have to get the other one. They're down to like 16-year-olds almost in a few days here in Ohio. It's going fast.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I want my daughter to get it.
There's another super chat question for Kathy here. Should I read it?
Let's have.
I hope they got their money's worth with the mold. I hope that.
I would say. I mean, I would argue that Brian owes, that he owes more money, because that answer was in depth, and he did not pay enough.
This one's from Anthony Belmares, who asks: is a story about the road manager who went insane true? I think Gina mentioned you found him in a closet losing his mind.
We were laughing about this so much the other day. We were laughing because the Go-Go's, you know, like the joke never gets old, whatever it is. But we we had like some real doozies of tour managers. And I wish I could remember his name, but I do remember his face, and yeah, he was like, we drove him crazy. We drove him crazy, and I don't know why, you know, I don't know why he couldn't handle us, but, you know, I remember like, oh God. Yeah. He told us that he had a bad dream about his, like his cat killing him or something. And just, he started getting really weird. And the really funny thing is, here's the even further backstory on that, is that we were in a war during that time. Like, two of us were at war with three, and we were like, it was the first time ever where it was like we would go in different vans to the gig, and
oh wow.
And it was based on, I don't even want to go into what it was based on, but it went on for a long time. And it was only the hatred of that tour manager that brought us together. Like that's what bridged the war. That was the, you know, the
sometimes that's what you really need is united hatred to bring a band together. I've experienced that.
It's a good bonding experience to talk shit about someone you both equally don't like.
I had that happen where I was in a band and there was a guy on the tour that was driving everyone so crazy that it became the glue that and everyone was very polite and not saying anything. And then I kind of whispered at one point to someone like, hey, what's up with this guy? And they're like, oh, he's an asshole. and then when we all realized that we thought that, it brought us all closer together.
Absolutely.
And then the next tour we did, he wasn't on it. And it created an imbalance because we're like, we don't have like anywhere to like dump all of our negative energy.
Exactly. Yeah. So we had a number of, I mean, when we found a tour manager that was right for us, it was, they always stuck around for years, you know, because they loved us and we loved them, but we would even torture the ones we liked too.
Well, you have to do you find this, my theory with bands is that the second the van, car, bus, whatever mode of transport, the second the door shuts, everyone's intelligence gets cut in half. and stays at that level until the door opens again. That's my theory on bands.
Well, yeah, I mean, something happened. Definitely the chemistry in that closed space definitely takes a turn for sure. But well, it's also part of the fun is that, you know, entertaining each other.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's sort of good. It's mostly good, the intelligence drop, I think, because then like you can just really stupid things can go a long way.
I have some good stories in my book. I think one of my
favorites, amazing stories.
Yeah, one of my favorites was this was a tour manager we loved, but we liked to torment him too. And I remember one time I went down because my trick was always check into the hotel, and then when everybody gets in their room, I would go down to the front desk and get an upgrade. That was my trick. And I went down to do that, and I caught our tour manager like kicking everybody's luggage, like just really like taking it out, like Gina, like kicking her luggage like it was her, and Belinda, fucking river. It was so, I died. It was so funny.
Oh, wow. And is this the guy that lost his mind?
No. That guy was in the either the late 90s or the early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy that he was in a closet. He was like crying in a closet.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Byron Whitley, who asked the question about the mold, paid another $4.99.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Because
it gets the heart.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you, Brian. I was kidding, but.
Oh, I thought he had another question.
He paid for the in-depth black mold answer as well. He should have.
My foot fell asleep.
Uh-oh.
We're taking one more call.
I'm doing. I'm not dancing.
We have another call on hold.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Caller, you there?
I'm here. It's my name's Roberto. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and huge Go-Go's fan. My first record I ever bought, Beauty and the Beat, when I was 9 years old. First concert at Boston Concerts on the Common, June 29th, 1984.
Nice.
I was almost 11. And I have to say, I mean, Kathy, I was so impressed by your book. I'm a psychologist, and I was so... I loved the book, not only as a Go-Go's fan, but to me, it really read almost like a really good therapy session, like very, just the arcs of the book and talking about addiction and talking about trauma and talking about some really, really deep stuff. And I have to say, it was just a wonderful read as a Go-Go's fan, but also a really impressive read as a psychologist and someone who clearly really dug deep and got very, very introspective. And I just really appreciate that and think it's definitely, you know, helps a lot of people when you become as open as you were in that book. So, and totally rooting for you guys. Absolutely belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm voting 10 times a day. So I'm hopefully that's going to work out. And hope you know, to see you guys on tour soon, but great job with the book.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was like therapy. I mean, there was stuff that I thought because I'm 32 years sober. I've had my share of therapy and, you know, in the chair. And, you know, you have to be pretty honest with yourself to have that kind of sobriety. And so I'm pretty, I was able to do it. I could take it. Let's just put it like that. And, so yeah, I was pretty fearless about it. I just thought, and a lot of it's because I'm a strategist, you know, and I'm very practical. I weigh things, and I just thought, you know, I'm not like this big star, this giant huge star where all I have to do is, you know, just like say anything and people are like, oh my God, she said that. So I thought it had to be real, and it had to be pretty like human. Like, I just didn't think I was a big enough star or a big enough person in the Go-Go's or a big enough celebrity to get away with anything other than just being human. And my favorite memoirs are when people are just very open about their humanity and their that this and that. And I felt like that's what would show that I could write and pave the way, hopefully, to write more books.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You better write another book.
I am.
Several. Thank you, Roberto. Is he still there?
Thank you so much.
Should be.
Oh.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Great interview.
Thank you so much for reading it and saying that stuff. It makes me feel good because I didn't think about when I'm writing it, all I was thinking is like, is it good? Am I writing well? Am I meeting my dead? That's all I thought about, literally. And it wasn't until it was turned in and a publishing date. And then I still didn't really think of it. And then it's coming out. And all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, all that stuff is going to, everyone's going to know that. I literally didn't think about everybody knowing until like it was too late.
Oh yeah. They've already printed it.
Yeah, yeah. Like I never thought about it. All the rest of the time, I was just like, is it good writing? Is it memoir? Because a lot of times I would read like pages and I'd go, this is good for an essay. It's not memoir. Memoir is like digging. And my motto was blood on the page without being a gaping open wound. That was it. That was the parameters.
Oh, I like that. Strategy. That's good. That's a sweet spot.
Great. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's a great book. Everyone, I know I've said it before, I'm holding up the book, even though most people will hear this in podcast form. But everyone can get All I Ever Wanted, Kathy's book.
Thank you. Thank you, Roberto. And I love Boston.
Yeah.
Whose kitty is that?
Wait, there's another kitty? Chris's kitty.
That's Zach. He's gigantic.
Zach is giant. He looks great on that chair. Isn't it funny how they know how to put themselves.
It's as soon as I turn this camera on, he just appears there.
He can feel it.
He knows. He knows.
That's the makings of a star.
I usually have, my room is usually filled with my dog and stuff. I'm getting a little concerned that he's not in here.
Tux! Is that?
Tux! Okay.
Uh-oh. We only have a couple minutes left.
Oh,
the time's flown by.
Yeah, we should move this over to Clubhouse. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we'll have to. You have to come back. Will you promise to come back?
Yeah, I like doing this. In fact, I'm going to come back even when I'm not a guest, and I'm going to call in.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's I don't know. What is that music, Chris?
That's our outro music.
Oh, it's over?
Oh, we have a couple minutes left.
The soft setup.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just background.
Oh, is it like wrap it up music?
That wasn't the intention. It was more just, you know.
Chris is making this show slicker and slicker every week.
I know. I'm pretty impressed with this operation.
I've been doing the same outro music for at least 20 weeks.
That's like the fastest.
Didn't even get to the costume change.
I know. Well, when you come back, we'll demand it. And Anthony Belmares says, I read your book and liked how you messed with Char by telling her helicopter that Char liked him. Do you two still remember that?
Yes, we still laugh about it. Everything that made us laugh then still makes us laugh. And for people that don't know what he's talking about, we had Belinda had a vocal coach that flew over and we couldn't stand him. And we were annoyed because it cost money and we didn't think she needed him. But for some reason he convinced her that she did need him. But he was so, so annoying. And so I had fun. I told him that Charlotte liked him. And so he was always like, and we called him Helicopter because he was always hovering around, listening to our conversations and trying to insert himself into the conversations. So once he thought she liked him, he was like always at her side. And one day she said, you know, why is Helicopter always around me? And I'm like, because it was very funny. But I'm glad I wrote it in a way that it got across.
Yeah. I love that. I will read a couple of super chats before we go. Elvira Canaveral says, the 66 cult of the month is cult. You are cult of the month, where we belong, cultofthemonth.com. Thanks, Kathy, Chris, Des, and Dave.
He keeps finding new ways to
exploiting loopholes.
I know. He's doing this shameless self. Though he's paying for it, so, you know. And wow, Brian, I don't know what it means, but Brian Whitley, it pays an additional super chat. So
I called him Byron because I read it wrong.
I've made that mistake myself.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm going to see to it, Chris, that you send Brian $5. Let's say goodnight. Thank you so much, Kathy, for doing this. Please come back.
Oh, so there wasn't another call?
No. That was just the super chat. And we ride off into the live cast podcast sunset. Everyone get Kathy's book in hardcover or audiobook form. And we didn't even get it. Well, when you come back, we got to talk about the Go-Go's movie that came out.
Oh yeah, documentary.
The documentary, which is great, and the Rock Hall, which inducted.
I should come back after we get inducted. That might be cool.
That's the move.
Well, that'll be your third appearance.
Because
you have to come back before then, because I'm just trying to get you to come on the show.
Oh, okay.
Many more times. Come on again and.
But don't
wait, when is the Rock Hall? Are the Rock Hall inductions? When are the inductions?
I don't know. I don't want to say in case some shouldn't.
Let me see. The nominees will be announced in May.
Okay. Well, either way, you got to come on the show.
But I don't want to overcome on the show because
you can come every week.
Who else do you have on the show?
The schedule's wide open. The calendar is wide open.
When you asked me before, did you have a cancellation?
I can't remember. I've been wanting to have you on. No.
We actually bumped someone that gets to have you on.
Oh, wow.
This is I've been wanting to have you before, but I was always afraid to ask because I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Oh. Gosh, I'm very beyond that.
I'm a shy. I'm a Gemini. I have a shy side. And it comes out, especially when I want people to do this show. I'm very shy. You've agreed to come on it at least two more times that we're aware of.
Yeah. I'll come anytime, and I'll call too. You don't hustle it enough.
Thank you.
I got to hustle it more.
He's not on Twitter.
Chris has said thank you. Well, I'm banned from Twitter.
But still, I didn't even. But there's a. Okay, well.
I'm going to hustle it more. No, I got to hustle more. You're right.
You've been told.
No, I need to hear it. I'm not good at that part.
Yeah, I hate doing that myself. So I'll help. I'll hustle this part. All right.
Maybe we should just make you the co-host. This is the move. We've gone over. We should go to this.
Let's do something on Clubhouse again, too.
We will. Let's hatch a plan. Let's say goodnight. Thank you again, Kathy.
Bye.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Des. Thanks to everyone who tuned in live, and thanks to everyone listening in the futuristic podcast format. Oh, there's the Witch Change shirt. And thank you, everyone in Manchester, England.
Bye.
Good night.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.